Technorama episode 624. Happy New Year!
What are you trying to convince yourself?
It's a new year, all right. Yeah. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My name is Chuck Tomasi. Thank you for joining us. Right across from that imaginary table is none other than Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to the new year, you know, because everything's changed, right?
Donna told me that 2021 just told 2020, hold my beer.
Don't, please, no. You know, I don't know how you spent New Year's, but I ended up watching Star Trek up until I realized it was like 10 minutes till.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, till midnight. So I went downstairs. Harrison came down and Kim was there and we watched the ball drop. And then we watched about 10 minutes of all of the different New Year's shows, and they all look stupid because there was one, no people there.
Yeah.
Or very little.
There was nobody in Times Square.
Yeah. And I don't know. All the shows just looked so disjointed. And then they had the inflatable Planet Fitness
thing. Those air dancers like you see at the used car store? Yeah.
At first I went, who in the world is down there? And then finally they showed it. I was like, oh, it's those stupid things. Oh, well.
Let's see. What day was that? Was Friday? So Friday. No. Third. Yeah, it was Friday. Was the first Friday?
Mm-hmm.
No, the first was Thursday. I don't remember. Thursday.
Yeah, the first
Thursday
was Friday.
It was New Year's Eve.
That's right.
So I went to bed about 10 o'clock and then I woke up about 11:20 because Lisa had come in. Now I had my earbuds in and I listened to white noise while I sleep. It washes out. Dogs barking, it washes out. You know, whatever. But I woke up and realized Lisa was in the house. I said, okay, I'll go out and talk. So we talked and talked and talked and talked with Lisa and Grantis and till the time came around. I was somewhat despondent because I was tired, like I was awake in the middle of the night.
Well, which you're already sleeping or laying down for a little bit.
And then yeah. And there were some people. Now, around here, they light off fireworks, which is totally alien to us growing up in Wisconsin. At first, we thought
it was too. Yes.
First, we thought it was gunshots. So we went out in the driveway, and there was just neighborhoods, and everybody's lighting up their fireworks. So it was an interesting display.
Were you two like my dog trying to get under my desk?
No.
What's that?
We went out in the cul-de-sac and we kind of enjoyed the view. We would have been nice if we had spent some time walking up the slope of Lookout Mountain a little bit to get a better vantage point. Then we would have seen like across the whole Upper Valley area. But,
you know, it was fine. I used to like fireworks. Yeah. And, you know, I love fireworks until you own a dog that doesn't like them.
I used to like fireworks until you try to sleep while everybody's blowing up their yards. There were about five houses that caught fire that night. Surprise! What do you think is going to happen?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, right. Dan Coyer says there were lighting on fireworks here in Wisconsin this year. Are they illegal there?
No, it's just it's cold. Nobody's going to go outside and light. They light fireworks on the 4th of July when it's nice outside.
Well, it was foggy and rainy here. Yeah, I'm not sure how people were doing that. I try to take the dog out before we go to bed and the dog hears and she's trying to go back in the house. I'm like, come on.
Friday night, we did go to this thing called World of Illumination in Phoenix. You spend like $39 for a carload of people or a truckload of people or whatever. And you drive through this about 40-minute light display. And it's, you know how people decorate their house and they play the music? Mm-hmm. Imagine that like times about 100. It's, you got Santas and you got singing things. It's all to the same song. So you turn your radio to whatever it was, 89.7, and you hear the music and the lights are going off. Well, Donna had brought some of those quote unquote 3D glasses that have the diffraction grating in it that makes the rainbows. Right. We used to get them at the fireworks show in the baseball game when we lived in Appleton. And the fireworks are really cool because you get like four times as many fireworks. Well, we put these on and we're going through, I'm trying to drive. And there's like 15 colorful Santas going off singing to me.
Oh, the colors, man, the colors.
It was a total acid trip. And Grant just says, what happens if you put on two glasses?
Invert one.
We put them up in front of our phone and videoed a little bit of this stuff. So I'll post that.
Go, oh, yeah.
This was the acid trip car ride. It was, I had them sort of half up and half down, like the world's craziest bifocals. I mean, we're only going about 2 miles an hour, really slow. In fact, we were stopped most of the time. So when I needed to drive, I just tipped my head up. And when I wanted to watch the light show, I tipped my head down.
Oh my gosh.
Lisa wasn't there because she was working, but Grant just was like, wow.
That's
wow.
Funny.
So funny.
That's what you need a video of, is him going, wow, man. Yeah, they do something similar at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. They do a light show inside. You drive through it and you go up on the track, you know, and drive around the racetrack a little bit. Yeah, and come around. It is kind of neat, especially when you got little kids and you can hear music and all that stuff. Yeah, that's great.
Shall we do the show?
Yes, let's do it. I feel like I haven't done it in a long time.
We've got some feedback.
Right. Bring it.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy!
Mailman, mail today.
All right, we have a letter from Megan Enlow, the podcast junkie. I think you spelled her name wrong. You forgot the L.
I didn't really type it. I thought I cut and pasted it. All right. Sorry.
It says, hello, my fellow geeky friends. Please forgive the tardiness of this email. It is in response to circling back to episode 617. And this is 624. So roughly a month or two ago. Craig, you told a story from Dragon Con in which you gave credit for me pointing out the skeptic, critical thinker, and investigator for paranormal phenomenon and pseudoscience. Wow. Try saying that five times fast.
Yeah, right.
James, the amazing Randy. You said that she pointed him out. She says, I remember it very differently.
Oh, okay.
This might be the sober person's story.
You know what? My reality is not always the right reality.
No, it's always interesting to get two different people's stories. Well, here's Megan's story. A bunch of us were sitting at a table, and you were across from me. You looked up and greeted someone directly behind me. Something in your face or tone of voice made me think I should turn around to see who it was.
Right.
My fangirl brain exploded. I think I started babbling incoherently. I was too starstruck.
Wait a minute. I remember that part. No, I'm just kidding.
That was the alcohol talking.
That's right.
I was too starstruck to get up and meet him. With your encouragement, I finally went to meet and get a picture with him. Craig, I have you to thank for one of my favorite memories of my only visit to Dragon Con. The world has lost Randy this year, making this even a more cherished memory. Big cyber hugs to both of you, Megan Enlow, aka Podcast Junkie. And if you are doing a podcast, awesome. By the way, and you're not part of the podcast community on Facebook, please join that. It's a great community. It's moderated, so you know people aren't dumping a bunch of advertisements in there. It's people asking legitimate questions like, hey, how long should my intro be? Or how many podcasts before you consider yourself proficient? It's just good discussion.
How many podcasts should I put out there before I start advertising and making money?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Hey, I will say this, that this is the kind of thing that makes me excited as my hobby as a photographer, is that I've gotten to where I there's certain things I do to encourage people. Hey, get together. I say things like, get together like you like each other, just to get people relaxed and take a picture. And that was the kind of thing I do remember just saying, trying to tell her, yeah, go up there. Let's take it.
Pretend you like each other. I usually say that to married couples.
Well, you know what? These two sisters, they're twins, and went to high school with them at our reunion. They were at a table and I was kidding with them. I said that thinking they would get the joke and go, you know, we're twins, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I said it. Get together like you like each other.
All right, let's take a look at our question of the week from last episode. It said, what is your geekish wish slash prediction slash hope for the new year? And Craig, I assume you will take the Technorama page and I'll take my page. Gary Lindro says the same thing it is every year. Jetpacks.
I thought he was going to pull here.
I thought he was going to pull a pinky in the brain. Same thing we do every year.
Try and take over the world. Tim Celine says better 3D scanners to digitize broken parts, fix them in the computer and print out spares. He says his first idea was better 3D scanners to copy broken parts. But what for do I need more broken parts? Good point. Good point.
Why do I need more broken parts? Scott Tyler says transporters.
Hey, there is a story about that this week, actually.
That means I get 1 point for next year's topic is Trek, because I said there would be another. Oh, wait. No, we've already had some transporter technology.
Yeah, they did a quantum transportation actually for computing.
Okay.
Dan Coyer said, thanks, Dan. Better calendar to know if Technorama podcast is live tonight or not.
Oh.
So, yeah. All right. You know what? I'll take that. We'll take that.
Well, we do have a Technorama calendar out there.
We do.
That shares on this day in history. We could put that on the on that calendar.
And you know what? If we're going to be live, if we're going to cancel, maybe we just put the word cancel or something so they know. I'll work on
that. Yeah, we can work on that. That's easy enough.
Let me put it in my task manager. Here we go. Done.
Well, you know, you can subscribe to the page. It'll tell you when we are live. And the YouTube channel will tell you when we are live.
We should update the calendar better. And I'll have the live dates on there. And if for some reason we cancel it, I'll edit it and put the word cancel in. Sure. And you'll know that way.
Okay.
Not necessarily just delete it. But, yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes. Thank you, Dan, for something else to do this
year.
What
else we have? Jack Mangan wants a battle mech. That would be nice.
Okay. Sweet Steve London says, me getting myself a 3D resin printer, CNC router, less no or low code. So, a resin printer. Those are the ones I've seen on YouTube are awesome, and I would love to have one. The pieces that come out of it, they're all smooth and stuff. It's, you know, they don't have the, the resolution lines on them.
So. Yeah. Let's see. One more. We'll do Mike Will says Starlink internet.
Yes.
I think that you have the same wish on that one.
I need that one. I need it. Yes.
All right. We'll ask another question at the end of the show. In the meantime, let's push that button.
Another letter from our listeners. And
go right into the history. On this day in history for January 6, 2021, this is the sixth day of the year. I love January because there's absolutely no counting and math involved.
Yes, that's right.
There are 359 days remaining because the computer did the subtraction for me. It was on this date in 1838 that Alfred Vail and colleagues demonstrated a telegraph system using dots and dashes. This is the forerunner to Morse code.
Okay. Wow. Forerunner. Okay. Also on January 6, 1847, Samuel Colt obtained his first contract for the sale of a revolver pistol from the United States government.
Ah, the Colt.
He made a gun and, we'll take one.
We've got a customer. Yeah. Also today in 1912, I think that's how ServiceNow started too.
I'll take it. That's right.
Contract. Also today in 1912, German geophysicist Alfred Wegener first presented his theory of continental drift. That's how long I remember my dad saying he learned about continental drift, and it was a radical idea when he was in school.
Wow. It was also on this date in 1930 that the first diesel-powered automobile trip was completed from Indianapolis, Indiana to New York.
New York. 74 years ago today, Pan American Airlines became the first commercial airline to offer a round the world ticket.
Wow. Okay, I was ready for more sentence there. It was also don't know what I was waiting for. It was 47 years ago today that in response to the 1973 oil crisis, daylight savings time commenced nearly 4 months early in the United States.
Ah, yes. The good old oil crisis.
I wonder how much of a difference that really made.
I'll bet it made absolutely none.
Well, probably minuscule, not enough to...
Wish I could say that, but I can't remember that happening in 1973.
I didn't... At that age, I didn't really care.
Well, I do remember the oil crisis because that's when gas prices went up by like, oh, gas is over $1 a gallon.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to French martyr and Saint Joan of Arc, born on this date in 1412.
And born January 6th, 1561, Danish mathematician and physicist Thomas Finke.
French chemist and academic Anselme Payen was born 226 years ago today.
And, born January, these, there's so many I know. Run together. Born January 6, 1807, German-Hungarian mathematician and physicist, Joseph Petzval.
I thought that said Parzival at first.
I know, I just finished player two up.
Did you? Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Ready Player Two, excuse me.
American cowboy and actor Tom Mix was born 141 years ago today. Oh, man, we used to listen to the Tom Mix radio show on cassette. I might still have one around.
I had lots of Mix tapes.
No, not that kind.
Danny Thomas, the American actor, comedian, producer, and humanitarian, was born 109 years ago today.
Born January 6, 1920, Korean religious leader, founder of the Unification Church, Sun Myung-moon. Remember the Moonies?
Yes.
That was his gig.
Oh, yeah. So Earl Scruggs, the American banjo player, was born 97 years ago today.
One half of the duo that sung the Beverly Hillbillies theme.
That's right.
That Earl Scruggs. And Lester Flatts was the other half. Why do I remember such nonsense? I don't know. American engineer and businessman founded the DeLorean Motor Company. Yes, it was John DeLorean. He was born on this date in 1925.
And I lost my place again. American actor Vic Tayback is born 91 years ago today.
What show was he on?
I don't know.
Alice. He was the guy behind the...
Oh.
That Alice, you know, in the restaurant.
He was the chef.
Kiss my grits. Yeah, that one.
Yes.
Oleg Grigorovich Makarov, the Russian engineer and astronaut, was born 88 years ago today.
And born January 6th, 1944, American actress and singer Bonnie Franklin.
From One Day at a Time.
Yes, that's true.
With
Vic Tayback.
No. Eddie Van Halen's wife.
Oh, I was thinking
Valerie
Snyder.
Bertinelli, that's what it was. And Mackenzie Phillips. Also turning, stupid trivia. Also turning 77 today is Swiss immunologist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Rolf M. Zinkernagel.
That sounds like fun. Something fun to say.
Sounds like a game we should play. Hey, you want to play a game of Zinkernagel?
That's right. Also born on that same date in 1948, American colonel and astronaut Guy Gardner. He's also a Green Lantern.
What?
It was a Green Lantern. His name in the comics, his name was Guy Gardner.
Okay. British-American astrophysicist and astronaut Michael Full was born this date in 1957.
And last but not least, born January 6, 1968, a year before me, American director and producer and screenwriter John Singleton.
Listener birthdays this week include, well, I'm throwing in one from last week just because we missed that.
Oh.
January 3rd, Thomas Gideon from the Command Line Podcast. January 6th, Steve Therian. Oh, he should get like a special ding, ding, ding for being a Patreon member. January 8th is Elvis. Yes, that Elvis.
With an exclamation point.
Yes. And Lingo from the Britain Yankee Podcast was born on the 9th. So happy birthday. That's the way it was on this day in history for January 6th, 2021. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, you know what to do. You go over to whatever that did to the show notes. I hate it when I'm on the wrong screen.
You forgot where to go.
I pushed the right button, but I was on the wrong app. It's supposed to do that. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday. Put your name and date down there. I swear we won't give it to the government or anybody else. It's just for giving you a shout out at the appropriate time of year, which we do so love. We had the comment about Tom Mix. He was like an old Western radio show. And the one we had was called The Mystery of the Magic Mesa. And every once in a while, I'll be driving around Phoenix at night, and I'll see a hiker up on the hill. And that's what I think of, is because they saw some lights up on the mesa. And the show was brought to you by Ralston. Hot Instant Ralston. I can still sing you the song. Start your morning with Hot Ralston, and surely we'll agree that this warm-up build-up breakfast gives you cowboy energy. It's nutritious and delicious, made from golden western wheat. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom, Hot Ralston can't be beat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's burned into ROM at this point.
That is funny.
All right, where were we on the show? Oh, we finished the history thing. Now it's time for the news. So
let's good go. News, everyone.
Would you like the first story?
Sure. We've talked about this, I think, several times, but we'll continue to talk about it a little bit more. And recovering samples from the moon, China's Chang'e 5 team used exoskeletons.
We can barely pronounce the names in the history segment. You expect something serious out of the news segment?
I know, right. So other worlds aren't the only difficult terrain personnel will have to traverse in humanity's exploration of the solar system. There are some parts of our own planet that are inhospitable and hard to travel over. Inner Mongolia, a northern province of China, could certainly classify as one of those areas, especially in winter. But that's exactly the terrain team members of the China's Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation, CATSI, wherever you want to say it. Anyway, had to traverse in December 16th to retrieve their lunar samples from the Chang'e 5 mission. That what's more unique is that they did it with the help of some exoskeletons. I'm going to see if I can pull that up while we're talking. Strange enough, the workers wearing the exoskeletons weren't there to help with the difficult mountain ascent or even pick up the payload of the lunar lander itself. It was to set up a communications tent to connect to the field back to the CASTC headquarters in Beijing. Two exoskeletons were designed to help people carry approximately twice as much as they were able to do. A local state media described a single person carrying 50 kilograms over 100 meters of the rough terrain without becoming tired. So I wonder if they just get people that weightlift to begin with and use the exoskeletons, it'll even enhance them even more.
I don't know.
But in the article itself, which that was a link to Slashdot. If you go in, you can see there's a link to the article on the Universe Today. And there they have a video showing the exoskeletons and how they work. So it's pretty cool.
All right. We are on the wrong screen. Skip the break. Let's keep going. We have, but what is it? Hex and Strange Stories next?
Yes.
There we are. This is too hard to do all by myself.
I know, right?
Okay.
You need to recruit your daughter.
Somebody put all of Shrek onto a 1.44 megabyte floppy disk. In a time when you have to go out of your way to buy a new TV with less than 4K resolution, that's the fact.
Less than.
One Redditor had to, I was shopping for TVs yesterday. There's nothing but 4Ks out there. It's crazy. Yeah. And they're cheap. They're a 55 inch for about $500. A Samsung.
You know, what's funny is you look at the price of those $500. You can get some $200 TVs, you know, 250 that have Rokus built in and stuff. But what's funny is look at the price. And remember when the flat screens just came out, they were $10,000.
Yeah.
They look great, but
a 1080p.
Yeah. And then it was depending on whether you got a plasma or a, you know,
LCD.
Yeah. And they were super expensive. Now you can just go. Now they're just falling out of trucks pretty much at this point.
Pretty much.
You get one at the bank for opening an account. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All righty. Well, one Redditor has decided that their eyes don't need such luxuries as 4K, 2K, HD, or even standard def videos. They've created a custom VCR that plays full-length movies on floppy disks with just 1.44 megabytes of storage. Who has a floppy disk anymore?
I wonder if you can buy them. Go ahead.
What would you put them in? No computer has them anymore.
Oh, well, that's true in itself, yes.
Okay, so for comparison, an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc has a dual layer capacity of 66 gigabytes for storing movies at 4K resolutions, while a single layer Blu-ray can only hold 25 gigabytes, which is enough to hold a movie at HD resolutions. DVDs, which store videos at standard definition resolutions, have a storage capacity of 4.7 gigabytes or 4,700 megabytes, and even stills shot in the Pro RAW format on an iPhone 12 Pro take about 25 to 40 megabytes in size. Trying to squeeze a movie that runs 90 minutes into just 1.44 megabytes seems like an act of futility. But when has that ever stopped anyone on the internet from doing anything? Well, Greedy Paint's accomplishment, if you want to call it that, is actually a two-part hack. The most important piece is a custom X265 video codec that crushes video files down to resolutions of 120 by 96.
Okay.
Running at 4 frames per second. This looks like a crappy 1980s security camera.
It does.
Well, Shrek, as featured in the video they shared on Reddit, actually compressed down to just 1.37 megabytes. Oh, so you could put a readme.txt on there.
There's just enough room for a text file.
Including the film's audio, which, as you can probably expect, is much of a chore of the viewer's ears is compressed video of their eyes. The animation they have on here also has like a VCR overlay on it. So it says SP in the upper corner. Oh, yeah. It has the date. Okay. And it is going jerk, 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 jerk.
When I saw that, I was a little confused because I was like, what am I looking at?
This is the world's crappiest animated GIF I've ever seen.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? As soon as I saw this, first thing in my mind was, why would somebody do that? The second thought is, well, if he can do it, why not? So, yeah.
When they show the animation, it almost looks like some of the prototype videos where they're practicing with the renderings. Like, this is how he's going to move through the forest. And, you know, and then you see go horribly wrong and Donkey's jaw gets big or something.
Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of. It's like, whoa, this is really messed up.
Yeah. That's pretty, I think it's kind of cool though.
It is fun. And it was a hack. So we're going to cover it in Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hey, what else are you going to do when you're in lockdown?
At Christmas, on time off.
Yeah.
All right. What else have you got for us?
So over on Ars Technica, there's this Ruddy Teddy Ruxpin thing.
Got the creepiest teddy bear in the world.
That's right. So brace yourselves. All right. So it's been 50 years since Captain Kirk first spoke commands to an unseen, all-knowing computer on Star Trek, and not quite, well, it's been more than 50 years, but it's not quite as long as since David Bowman was serenaded by Hal's 9,000 rendition of A Bicycle Built for Two in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
While we've been talking to our computers and other devices for years, we're only beginning to scratch the surface of what's possible when voice commands are connected to artificial intelligence software. Meanwhile, we've always seemingly fantasized about talking to toys, from Woody to Buzz and Toy Story to that creepy AI teddy bear that's tagged along with Haley Joel Osment in Spielberg's AI, which I just watched that last year, I think, again. Well, most people aren't dreaming of that teddy bear, so to speak. And ever since the Furby craze, toy makers have been trying Furbies, been trying to make toys smarter. They've even connected them to the cloud with predictably mixed results. So naturally, this one picked up a knife and started chasing the little... No, I'm kidding.
Alexa, please buy me. Here's Johnny.
Yeah. Famous serial killers. Anyways, naturally, I decided it was time to push things forward, and I had an idea to connect a speech-driven AI and the Internet of Things to an anamorphic...
anatomically correct bear.
Whoa.
Hey, AI, for a bear, he'd have a big snout, big teeth, yeah. Claws.
Animatronic bear. Okay. So all the better to stare at his lifeless, occasionally blinking eyes of the singularity within itself. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ted Lexa. Okay. Gutted 1998.
When should I remind you?
Nice.
When should I remind you? Hey,
Alexa, cancel. Here, cancel. I'm gonna play a little bit of this. I'm gonna fast forward into here.
Let's see. We're running inside Teddy Ruxpin's head.
He's getting our
Arduino with the USB port and
come on,
way
I
to really.
The board. I want to hear it.
Open the pod bay doors.
He does nothing.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Okay, the bear is talking while Alexa is going. So it looks kind of disturbing, like he's having open heart surgery with this Arduino on his chest.
He's wearing a CPU on his sleeve. Yeah. Anyway, go check it out. There's code on there and there's videos. But basically, he put Alexa in a Teddy Ruxpin.
What else could you put Alexa in? Because they've put it in just about everything else. There's actually a, what did I see?
Well, there was a Billy Bass on there too.
Yeah, that's nice. They've got a little kit that lets you connect your phone to Bluetooth and then that to the car. So you can put Alexa in your car.
Yeah, I've seen those, little device. Yeah. You just pop it in. Yeah.
Not really making a wish list, but I was checking out the landscape of technology in Best Buy while Donna was in the ladies' room on Saturday.
You were making a wish list. Who are you feeling?
Well, I also had to check out the price of a couple of things that I'm going to need here in the studio. So we are
under renovations.
Would
you want Alexa in your car?
I mean, not really. I don't.
You're kind of invested in Alexa at your house.
I am, but I don't really need it in my car. I don't. I mean, I guess usually in the car, I just tell the phone, hey, Google, you know, what's the answer to this? Yeah, stop. Sorry, everybody who was listening to this.
Yeah, I use Google Assistant in the car all the time.
Yeah, what do we tell?
I think it works. Sure. I think it works, you know, pretty well in the car.
You just back up, I guess. Okay, there we go. All right, we have one more from the Hacks and Strange Stories before we go on. A blackboard becomes a tidy pen plotter. Sounds intriguing. Let me make the font size just a wee bit bigger for my old eyes. Printers are all well and good, but they're generally limited to small paper sizes and use expensive ink. If you instead want to produce art on a large scale, a plotter can be a great way to go. These days, such a build is quite easily approachable thanks to the broad DIY, CNC, and 3D printing communities. If you didn't understand any of those words, you're on the wrong podcast.
That's right.
The plotter consists of a pair of stepper motors driven by an off-the-shelf RAMPS 1.4 controller and an Arduino Mega 2560. The motors are mounted at the top corners of the blackboard and move the pen holder via a pair of toothed belts, counterweighted for stability. The pen holder itself mounts a simple permanent marker and uses a servo to push the holder away from the paper for retraction rather than moving the pen itself. Control of the system is via the Michelangelo firmware, an open source effort capable of driving a wide variety of CNC motion systems. That's pretty darn cool. The final result is a simple plotter using readily available parts that can be reliably plot large graphics onto a piece of A1 paper. We're particularly impressed by the clean, continuous lines it produces, testament to the sound mechanical design. We see plenty of plotters out there out these parts, even rotary types that can draw on curves. Video after the break. So, I forgot to mention when I was at Best Buy, I was also looking at the sunglasses that have the speakers in them. Mm-hmm. Remember you were always talking about how you wanted to hear music, but also hear the surrounding yes. world around you. That's what you want. The sound was incredible, and the audio was coming out of a couple of speakers in the arm.
Right.
I put them on. I was not expecting that quality of sound. And then I went, okay, just out of curiosity, how much are they before I put in my lenses, my prescription? Oh, right. They're about $250. So yeah. Maybe it's time we call up that kid in Tempe and have him make us the big taped ones.
Yeah. Well, right. I remember that. It was all... Anyway, have you looked at Amazon's glasses?
They have
Alexa
yet.
In them.
How much are those?
I think they're probably around... I was just trying to pull it up really quick. Let's see. Amazon... What do they call them? Dave Schlesinger's got some.
I started thinking about it and talking to Donna, I said, now hang on a sec. People spend $100 or $150 on frames alone, and these are frames with an audio system in them. I don't know what the battery life is, but you've got the audio built in, and then you'd mm-hmm. still have to put your lenses in. So they're not that ridiculously priced.
Now,
I've got a pair of polarized sunglasses with my progressive lenses in them. Got them in 2016. I absolutely love them when I'm outside. It's the clarity is something I've never really had in outdoor glasses before. So I don't know that I'd instantly replace those, but those were nice. Those were nice.
These are $250, and you can touch the bar to change the volume
gestures,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll broadcast down. It acts like Bluetooth headset without plugging mm-hmm. into your ears, just like you said. And they're $250. And they have a couple of styles. Like, I think they're kind of like yours with blue accent. And then they got another one that has like the tortoise shell.
Yeah, and the arms are a little thicker to hold the
electronics.
They
are a little thicker,
but
I don't think that they look ridiculous.
Yeah, the Bose ones that I was looking at looked really nice too.
Well, I need to get glasses, and I was seriously considering this. I'm going to have to check with Dave and get an update from him and see mm-hmm. how he likes it.
The only reservation I have is my glasses tend to last, 5, 7, 8 years. The technology doesn't keep up.
Yeah.
If you bought the high-tech glasses today, there's no telling what the landscape will look like in 8 years. Is Alexa still mm-hmm. going to be a thing? Will this pair with my phone that I have in 8 years? I don't.
Bluetooth was decommissioned.
Yeah, we don't support Bluetooth 5 anymore. Man. That would, so that's an expensive endeavor, in my opinion.
Even if this was, I know he said that people can hear the music or whatever he's listening to away from him, but if you have it down at a certain level, nobody can really hear it much at all. It's just mostly for you. But if you turn it up, other people can hear it. But so that's kind of an issue, but I think it's kind of cool to be able to touch it and just ask a question or what's on my calendar.
I had it pretty loud and Donna could hear it slightly, almost like, you're wearing these kind of headphones and you can hear a little buzz, 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 and you'd probably say, turn your stuff down. But it was probably less than these on ear headphones, mm-hmm. But definitely more than in the ear earbuds.
Yeah. Cool. I'm going to ask him about a mix. Actually, it's about time for me to get glasses anyway. So
not me. I'm good.
So I don't know if I would do this for sunglasses, but for my prescription glasses, I think I would.
Get both. Why not? They're on sale.
I can't. I spent $500 on two pairs of glasses.
I spent that much on one pair of glasses once.
The only problem with that is, remembering to carry around the sunglasses. I'll leave the house and go down the road in the car. I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, you could always get the high-tech ones with transitions lenses.
That's true.
You can put whatever lenses you want in them.
Actually, what I like is getting regular glasses and then go to Walmart and buy like five of the
flip-ups.
The clip-on. Yeah, the clip-on. So I can put one in my bag, one in the car.
It's like the old days where you had the flip-ups.
I like those. I thought those were cool. Maybe.
Yep, that's when you know you're an old man.
Yeah, there's your ghost.
All right, let's give a shout out to the chat room. We do the show live Sundays at 9:30 Eastern Time on Facebook and YouTube. So go join our page over there. Get notified when it comes up. I'm not sure why my cursor is putting a picture in front of my face, but all right. Who do you see on? I got Dhruv over on YouTube. There was somebody else over there. They ran away. I don't know where they went.
So, Mike Robison, John Miller Jr., Dan Coyer, the guy that keeps giving me tasks to do this year. John Miller Jr., I think I mentioned him already. I think that's all I see in the chat room. That's the only one talking about.
All I got also. Mike says, Sonic sunglasses, Doctor Who strikes again.
I know, right?
Very nice. So you can join us on the live chat. Be part of the show. Get your snarky comments.
I would like to have glasses that have like a green laser in the arm so I could just blind people and walk off.
And then you could put them on with sharks. You know, I was thinking about something like that. Just to stand out, before I fell asleep last night, I was thinking about skiing. And I would want something that was noticeable from the chairlift that was not distractible to other skiers. So you couldn't just wear this flashing strobe on your head, you know, because other people would be skiing and go, what's that? And they'd, you know, run into a tree or something. So you'd have the Spock helmet
with the siren on.
If you did that, but you had some sort of shield around it and it was only visible from above on the chairlift, you'd be good, right?
Oh, you want people to see it from above. Okay.
Yes. So they go, oh, there goes the guy with the Spock helmet. But if you're skiing, all you'd see is this guy with a helmet with sort of this shield around something. And you wouldn't distract the people skiing.
What if you just got a headlamp and wore it with the band under your chin with the light facing straight up?
Then you'd look like the Luxor Hotel.
That's right. Get one of those, the higher end.
Slap a Chris flashlight. Angel sticker on your helmet.
Oh boy.
Someone needs to go to Vegas again real soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on to Remember When. What color was the button for this? Green. There we are.
Do we need to color code our sections now?
No.
Okay.
Oh man, this looks familiar.
Go ahead.
I don't usually do Happy New Year's posts, but given how well 2020 went, I thought it was appropriate to start 2021 with a whimsy post. Again, I need to enlarge the font size on this just a couple of notches. There we go. This post is probably going to date me since it's been a few years, okay, decades since these were current. Well, it's not the actual computer, but the same model. I was first exposed to computers during the personal computer heyday in the early 80s. Back then, my school had two computers, one Trash 80 Model 3 and one Sinclair ZX81. Not sure where Craig just went. Maybe he'll call back. Where'd you... Your audio's out. Check your mute button.
I was trying not to embarrass myself. I was sneezing.
Yeah, and you... Oh, I see. You turned your camera off.
Yeah, like thanks for pointing it out.
Well, the whole screen... Because I don't have... I've got Zoom set up to take... the non-video people out. Here. So all of a sudden it's like my whole screen.
Excuse me for a moment.
Yeah, there you go. Do that because otherwise you just totally destroy the whole video format.
Sorry.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry.
This author was telling about their Trash 80 Model 3 and their ZX81. The ZX81 was used to teach pupils rudimentary programming. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the teachers actually built it from a kit as that was the cheapest way to get one. Keep in mind that I grew up in Europe where computers like the Apple II were very expensive and didn't gain much traction in the education field or with hobbyists either. Yes, there were some around, but you saw a lot more VIC-20s, C64s, and Ataris. A lot of schools, including mine, bought European manufactured computers like Sinclair's and later Amstrad, Schneider, CPC 464s. Wow, there's a legacy model.
I know, right?
I don't even remember seeing one of those in the Computer History Museum, but I'm sure they were there. Either way, I probably watched too many retro computing videos on YouTube and ended up finding a Timex 1000 on eBay. For those not well-versed in personal computing history, Timex sold variants of Sinclair computers in the U.S. Here it is in all its glory, and we got a picture, and that is a terrible keyboard type on.
Oh.
It was like an early membrane keyboard.
Exactly.
But that's what it was. He actually bought this computer a couple of years ago between a house move, work, and a bunch of other projects. It mostly sat in its box. It is very clean and doesn't appear to have seen a lot of use. I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get it up and working with minimal effort. If not, it's a cheap way to polish my soldering skills. As the ZX81 only came with 1K of RAM. 1K.
Hey, you can't even put that Shrek movie on there.
No. You can't even put a 1... yeah, no. That included the video RAM. There isn't much that you can actually do with one out of the box. Fortunately, this one came with a humongous 16K RAM expansion that connects on the back. Ooh, someone got the upgrade. Those expansions were notorious for causing involuntary resets. If you looked at the computer funny, they actually connect straight to the motherboard and are only held on by the connector itself. So any movement is, well, not great. Also, I guess the warranty's run out. It only shows a picture of the 90-day limited warranty.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, this is the computer. I was trying to find the, as you were talking about, I was trying to find the cover. I thought it was Popular Mechanics that I had a copy of, and it had this on the cover of the magazine. And that thing just captured my attention. I know the keyboard probably sucks. But I always thought, wow, that is really cool. You know, it's flat. There's nothing to it. I was thinking this is like the future kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it really sparked my interest in computers, seeing this thing. So I never owned one, but I've known people that had the Timex ones. And I, of course, grew up on a 64.
I belong to a group on Facebook called Vintage Unix Machine Enthusiasts.
Yes, where they show I
think I did. AT&T, yeah. Sun's, SGI's, DEC, HP, the Next, IBM. People get these. I think my favorite was the big Sun. It wasn't a desktop. It was like one of those cabinet size ones.
Yeah.
Only it had been turned into a taco cart. Someone was making street tacos out of this thing. Like, and it still said Sun on the side of it. It's like, that was so sad. It's like,
oh, yeah. I think I did see that.
The only value that thing had anymore was the sheet metal.
Yeah, I was looking for that group. They had a post, a couple of different posts. I was going through the Facebook feed, and I saw a CRT go through. I went, wait, why would somebody post that? And I went, oh, that's right, the vintage group. They had all kinds of, especially Sun, a lot of old Unix stuff I see pop up in there too.
Well, it's funny because someone will take an old machine and say, hey, does anybody still have the CDs for this? Or they're looking for that. Sometimes you'll see people running software on these that never was meant to run on these things. Like, hey, I got Adobe Photoshop 3.0 running on CDE through. I'm like, what? I thought I needed a hobby. At least my hobbies are, you know, presenting some current value, but hey, it's fun. I did have a lot of those workstations in my basement at one point. This one's my DNS server, and that one's my web server, and that one's like, they were very specialized. Just to say, I was able to get a Sun machine up and running or an AIX machine up and running and get exposure to that. So it's okay to have fun with that, kids, but you can do that all in the cloud now.
Yeah, there's the one I was talking about. It was a Sun machine, and it had the old, not even, or it had the Mosaic browser up, and I scrolled by. Whoa, what? It caught my eye, and I had to go back. Wow,
that was my first browser, Mosaic.
Yeah, I think technically my first one, I think, was like Netscape or something, or probably. I know I used Netscape for a long time. I was trying to remember if I used Internet Explorer. It's probably a close close call between the two.
Where Mosaic was out of University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana-Champaign. It's like University Illinois Urbana-Champaign, UIUC, something like that. So that was like the grandfather of all browsers.
I know, right?
Let's go on and thank our patrons, because they're the people who help keep this show running, and apparently I need to buy a new audio interface. Yeah. Thank you in advance. If you watched any of that pre-show nonsense, you'll know why. Thank you to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man. Yeah, he should get the special. There you go. It was his birthday, too. Happy birthday. $75. Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry, John Clifford. Thank you, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina. Isn't Christina still in Thailand?
Probably.
Probably. Kyle Nishioka.
Call us and let us know.
Yes. It is. It's still International Call Technorama Month.
All year long.
Because 2020 did so well.
That's right. It's still November.
I think member number one was Kyle Nishioka. We should put these in the order they joined. That way they get like ranking instead of alphabetic. All right. Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy.
I'm not going to try. Thanks, Stephen.
Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and Sweet Steve London. Thank you all. Your donations for as little as $1 an episode really do go help to make this show work. Takes care of the upgrades. We've got some DNS, some domain registration to take care of soon. But the income keeps coming in, and I fear not when I have things like this $30 or $40 audio interface go on us. I go, oh yes, we've got that covered because you've got us covered. And in return, not only do you get your name enshrined on the show, I borrowed that phrase from Mark Blackburn on America at War podcast. Thank you, Mark. Now that you know I've stolen your catchphrase, enshrined on the show, but you also get a special episode of Technorama for the patrons only. So if you want to find out what that secret message is and you don't need a decoder ring for it, go to, where is it? Patreon. I got to get the Patreon button there. See, normally Donna does all these buttons. And of course,
I was like, what are you talking about? Okay.
I'm on the wrong app again. Patreon. There we go. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. So we will talk to you again soon. Did I almost, wow. I got to learn to shorten that segment up. They're getting into that part of the song. And that's right. Let's take that off the titler. What's next? The remote?
Well, yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have my remote.
No, I put mine away.
Oh.
I'll be getting a TV for the new studio.
Here, let's just pretend.
Okay. Well, we're on the wrong side. Normally we're...
Oh, wait. What?
Just shoot me now. Okay. Let's go through these real quick because we are coming up on the hour on this show. I want to tell you about Ripper on Netflix. It's a 4-part series about the Yorkshire Ripper. I'm just going to say it made the police look really bad. They were totally on the wrong track. A lot of facts were turned into facts out of just assumptions or bad profiling, whatever it was. And they could have caught this guy a lot sooner had they done diligence. So very good. If you're into true crime stories, this is a true crime story that happened between 1975 and 1981 with a serial killer over in the UK. So I enjoyed it. Thought it was very good. I give this one a solid 8.5. I like those kind of shows. The other one that I watched was The Stand on CBS All Access. Are we supposed to call that Paramount Plus now?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, CBS All Access, because that's what it says when the app comes up.
Oh, is it? Does it? Oh, well, I guess the transition is starting.
This is a 3-part, what was titled as limited series. Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg is in here. There's a whole bunch of actors. It's based on Stephen King's novel, The Stand. And if you remember, that book was about... You know, 5-6 centimeters thick. It was a big book. And I thought, wow, did they cram this? No, I did not read it. Did they cram this all into 3 hours? That's great for me because I have the attention span of a watermelon. Yeah. And we started getting into it. First thing, I didn't know what the story was about and went, oh, it's a virus story. And 99% of the world.
How apropos.
Die. Right. Yeah, how timely. But they did not get all of the book into 3 hours. So I was just getting into the story. They're doing like backstory after backstory after backstory. And it was interesting to see how these timelines and whatnot cross, because they're jumping around between here's now and here's this person's backstory. And then I went, it's over? We don't even know what happened. All these people got together and we don't know what happened. So I don't know where the rest of the story is, but I'm interested in watching the rest of it. It was kind of slow in spots, but you did have to pay attention. Each segment was about 56 to 65 minutes long. So right. I give it, I'm going to give this one a 7.5. And I was just getting into it. And then I went, I'm kind of bummed that the rest isn't there. So
are they going to do any more later?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to find out if anybody watched it. I don't know how you get all these people back together. You know, it go, oh, let's film the rest next year. Maybe it's limited because they ran into COVID when they were doing production. I don't know.
Well, I see they got 9 episodes listed and IMDb? Maybe it's not finished. Oh, there's only 3 that have been released yet. January 7th is the next one.
Oh, good. Then I can keep going.
Yeah. Right. So,
what have you got?
So you reviewed something without knowing the end, following it up on the end. What's it's next? Actually on Wikipedia, has 9 episodes listed.
What's next?
So anyway, I finished up Cobra Kai season 3, which showed up on Netflix on January 1st. And if you like the first 2 seasons, I think you'll like the 3rd one. It's more the same. There's sometimes when, of course, it has to do with not just Daniel and Johnny and, Kreese and all that stuff. But then you got the kids, and there was some times it was really getting into young adult soap opera, and I was like, okay, I'm starting to lose me. But they drew so much detail out of those movies, especially on, I think there's a lot of the second film, a lot of details came out in this season. So anyway, I thought it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. So I would give this a solid 8.5. Okay. If you like I said, if you like the first 2 seasons, it's more of the same. So it's really good. And also finished reading Ready Player 2. Again, more of the same in the first book. A lot of the focus is on different things. Different pop culture stuff instead of the same, not so much video games. There are some video game stuff in there, but not so much video games, but some expands. Prince is in there and some other stuff. Anyway, I won't go into all that. I don't want to spoil it for you, but there was it was good. I enjoyed it. I think it was well done, and I think it was a nice follow-up. Now, if they do a 3rd one, as soon as you see the end of the book, you'll be like, oh, I know exactly where they're going with this.
Ah.
Or where Ernie Cline is. So I don't know if there'll be a next one, but I enjoyed Ready Player 2, and I think you might as well. What was it? Oh, I referred, I remembered that we had interviewed Ernie Cline 8 years ago, on Technorama.
Yep.
And I kind of went back and listened to the interview, and I shared it with some people at work. And, I had somebody, I'm having a brain fart there for a minute. I shared it with Stacy, Stacy at work. Mm-hmm. She at first didn't like the book as much, Ready Player 2, because she thought it was ridiculous how much their life depended on knowing all this pop culture stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, it's a ridiculous premise to a point. I get it. But to some degree, that's their history, when in the future. Anyway, so she listened to our interview that we did, and she came away. She went, well, okay, I like it better now, because when Ernie said he thought it would be fun to see how people would deal with having to know all this stuff, then she said, okay, maybe he didn't think it had it was rooted in some kind of reality. Just it would be fun to do it. And she had a different light on it. So I was happy that our interview actually did that.
So if you anyway, didn't like the book, go listen to our interview and you probably like the book better. That's the moral of the story.
Anyway, I'll put a link into the interview if you want to go back and listen, or you can go search for Ernie Klein on our Ernest Klein on our website and you'll find it.
All righty. And what do we have next? I got to get my keyboard. We are Media Corner. This
you
is
know what
is this?
Let's skip that and just go into the Greek library.
I'm going to just give you the title, 22 Facts You Never Knew About Wikipedia. There you have it.
All right. The link will be in the show notes. You can go check it out.
Go over to chuckchat.com/technorama. I need the desk bell. I don't have it there.
You know, these next couple of things in the geek, the geek library, are you going to play music or you just want to go into it?
It's short. Sir, why not? I'm going to call shenanigans on this first one, though.
I think, you know what? I think, actually, I got the same link in there twice, so just the first two.
So the great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter forming a single bright star in the sky. They finally aligned. If you missed this, where were you? December 21st was when Jupiter and Venus got as close as they were. I don't care who you are. Unless you have really bad eyesight, you could still tell that they were two planets. They didn't form a bright star. No, they didn't. They didn't.
No, I was going to say.
You can't take a 40-watt bulb and a 25-watt bulb, put them together and go, wow, that's a really bright light bulb, because it's never brighter than 40 watts. I'm sorry.
Hey, it was neat to see.
It was neat to see and watch them get closer and closer and closer and then kind of blow by each other. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, they did oversell it a little bit as the brightest star.
It was, you can discern 6 arc minutes in your eye. It's not that hard. They were about as close as the two stars, but brighter in the bend on the Big Dipper. So if you've ever looked at those, you go, oh yeah, a lot of people can see two stars up there.
Well, what was funny was I knew the night, obviously, that it was going to happen. And I hadn't seen it yet. And I was driving into my neighborhood. I was like, what is everybody walking around like it's Halloween, like they're trick-or-treating? And then I went, oh, wait, they're out. Look, everybody's outside looking at the, which was cool that everybody had gone outside to see this thing. But let's talk about the picture that we got posted here. So this guy did a time lapse, I guess, over several days, right? A
couple of weeks.
Several weeks. And this is, you can see them coming in a V pattern to where they actually coincide each other at the bottom. And I thought that was a neat picture. And I remember you had replied to me and said, wow, that is neat.
That is a cool picture.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures with the moon and over time, like when there's an eclipse, really cool stuff. This ranks up there as one of the cool ones. So let's go to the next picture. And this is
I saw this on space porn, Reddit space porn.
That's exactly where this
is. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where it was. Because it comes up on my phone. I have an app called Muse. I think you pointed me to it.
Yes.
And this came up, and I'm like, what? It looks kind of like an audio waveform.
It does.
Or a tissue pattern. It's like a cross-section of somebody's muscle or something. It's like, what is this?
Well, buried down in the comments, the guy talks about how he did it. But what it was is basically a pinhole camera and a can. Was it a can? And he had it attached to a tree. And he left it there for 1 year. So you could see all of the sun coming up and down, up and down, up and down.
Where did the color come from? I don't understand that. It's like bluish on the bottom, then orangish in the middle, and yellow-green on top. And it's not a spectrum. It's like there's a definite band where it changes.
Moon? Maybe they're part of that's moon. I don't know.
You can tell there were some cloudy days because there's gaps in there.
Yeah, there's some gaps in there. But one, I was surprised that the film actually did right for, hanging out in a year, for a year with all the different weather changes and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also if you're interested in this, this is a really cool picture. But if you go down, there is somebody. Yeah, there's a link in the comments to another one. This lady had this is the one. The lady had a beer can pinhole camera. She captured pictures for 8 years where the sunrises and sunsets. And you can see it looks very similar except for the colors. Hers looks pretty black and white. I imagine that's because, not black and white, but bluish colored. Okay. Anyway, I think it has to do with just being out in the elements for so long. But I was surprised that the ground, I guess the ground and the whatever she had it attached to was stable enough to stay still or mostly still for a year.
That's pretty
cool. I guess small movements wouldn't matter that much if you're, you know, exposing after a, even for an hour.
Yeah, you're right. The small movement wouldn't, it might make the sun a little jaggedy at some point, but over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good stuff. If you want to see those, go over to chuckchat.com/technorama. Episode 624. I knew there wasn't a 7 in here yet. Darn it. Our question of the week we're going to leave you with this time is, it's more of a scenario here. This is a story. God has made you a developer of the universe. Your task is to create small patches / bug fixes to improve humans. What do you do?
I have my code automatically delete politics.
I format every night.
Just wake up all fresh and relaxed. Hey,
who are you?
All the worries are out from the day before. Yeah. Format.
Let's take this to the end. Thank you for joining us for the last hour or so. We wish you all the best. Hope you stay safe. If you want to get in touch with us, don't forget, you can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Where's that number? We need that up here. Contact us. Let's make sure we hit the Wirecast button first. There we go. Otherwise, I get weird letters in the show notes. Normally, I do the show notes on a different computer, but like I said, everything's been rewired and shifted around here. So
yeah.
I got trackpads in different places than they used to be, so I'm trying to train my brain at the same time. But
He made it intuitive.
I got to admit, I like it a lot better this way.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot more localized. So thank you for getting in touch with us, and technorama@chuckchat.com is the way you can email us if you don't feel like it, like Megan did, and get your email potentially read on the show. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again real soon. Until then, give me a binary high five, Craig.
All right. 101. Happy New Year.